Gaza has experienced only the second night in more than a year without the sound of drones or bombs going off as people begin returning to where they once lived, only to find their homes in rubble. For many, it is their first opportunity to assess the scale of the devastation inflicted on the territory during the 15-month war between Israel and Hamas. Celebrations at the ceasefire have been replaced by shock and sorrow. But as the ceasefire holds, the question now turns to what next for Gaza. Our Deputy Foreign Editor Edmund Heafy joins us now from Tel Aviv. Edmund, talk to us about the scale of the devastation that the people of Gaza are now trying to come to terms with as they see what has happened to their homeland.
Well, Justin, they're almost indescribable scenes, really, particularly in northern Gaza, where cities like Jabalia are barely recognizable now. Israel initially focused its airstrikes on northern Gaza, so that includes areas like Gaza City and Beit Hanun, which sustained really heavy damage, and we're starting to get satellite imagery and aerial photographs of the damage in those areas, and it really is it's just apocalyptic looking. There's no other way to put it. Gazans returning to their homes are saying that they can just barely recognize the areas where they used to live.
What kind of aid is getting into Gaza now?
Well, we had more than 600 aid trucks enter Gaza on Sunday, while 915 aid trucks got into Gaza yesterday. So the deal stipulates that at least 600 truckloads of humanitarian aid should be allowed into the Gaza Strip every day of this first phase of the deal. Now, that's a huge increase in the amount of aid that had been getting into Gaza. If you just look at December, it was on average just 30 aid trucks a day were making it in. But aid agencies are calling for unimpeded access, saying that 600 trucks a day isn't enough. And then the issue isn't just about getting the aid into Gaza. It's about distributing it through the strip, given the massive damage to infrastructure.
The ceasefire deal, Edmund, began on Sunday, but there is a long road ahead if that peace is to become permanent. What shape now will the second round of ceasefire talks take?
Well, it doesn't really. Yeah, the concerning thing about this ceasefire deal is that all that has been negotiated so far is this first phase. Like, there is a broad outline of what the second and third phases might look like and what will happen during them, but it's just a broad outline. What we do know is that the deal says that negotiators from both sides must sit down to start hashing out the details of the second phase by the 16th day of the first phase. So we're expecting them to start negotiating that in about 2 weeks. Now, it's the second phase that's going to be absolutely crucial. This is the phase where Israel and Hamas are meant to declare a permanent cessation of hostilities, and Israel is meant to withdraw from Gaza. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned on Saturday that if negotiations about the second phase proved futile, Israel reserved the right to return to war. And I guess that's exactly why US President Donald Trump said in the Oval Office last night that he's not confident that the ceasefire deal will hold.
All right, Edmund Heafy, our Deputy Foreign Editor in Tel Aviv, thank you for speaking with us this morning.